Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Welcome into the Audi Performance Studio here at One Jets Drive. Eric Allen with Brian Baldinger and Leger Dusable. It is time for a moment that fans circle on their calendars. Mock draft.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And this is going to be an extended version. We're going to get to the Jets at 10.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to go. Okay. But before that, we got to tackle the landscape before the green and white are scheduled to select.
Okay.
Let's start with Chicago at one. We're going to alternate picks.
Okay.
Deuce, you will make the first selection. Is this open a door, shut case? I mean, this is done. This is Caleb Williams.
This is done. The consensus has been Caleb Williams, I would say, for 2 years, mm-hmm. Baldy. To me, the most electric quarterback. Now, I think you'll talk about a quarterback next. Jaden Daniels, to me, who is probably the most dynamic. But you're talking about just electric energy, a guy that can throw off platform, the wild plays. That's what Caleb Williams has. And when you watch film, Boldy, he can throw in timing, right? You see it on tape. I think that's anytime I talk to scouts, they want to see if a guy can do it. Because if you can see him do it once, that means he can do it more than one time. So a lot of people always wondered, can he live within the structure of the offense? Mm-hmm. He's shown at USC he can do that. And then another thing about him, he can lead a team because he had no help on that defensive side of the ball. He literally had to put up 50 burgers for them to win. So you got a guy that is used to the pressure, right? Yep. The pressure mounting. Now, people will say that Notre Dame game, right, he was probably pressing a little bit too mm-hmm. much because he knew what the way his defense plays, he's got to keep score for score with teams.
Yeah.
But to me, he is the number one consistent player for the draft. And if you're the Chicago Bears, you finally get your quarterback in the future, because I actually had this conversation with a few people the other day, Baldy. When you look at the Chicago Bears in totality, who would you say is their best quarterback of all time? You probably get 3 or 4 different names, right?
Probably
Sid Luckman. Well,
Jay Cutler took him to
Jay
a Super
Cutler,
Bowl.
Jay Cutler, right? So, like, maybe Caleb Williams can finally be that guy. Bears fans can say, this is our best quarterback.
I thought it was going to be Justin Fields, but, Justin Fields, I mean, it just made sense to reset, the economically
market,
right here.
Yeah.
All right, just start fresh with the rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. And, look, I've known Caleb since he was in high school coming out of Maryland. And he was already an advanced student. He understood the game. He knew how to attack coverages. And then when you saw him throw it when he was in high school, Leger, like, this guy had an NFL arm when he was in high school. And all he did under Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, at USC, was just perfect that. And so I think Chicago's in good shape. I think they feel very confident. And they've done a good job of building around him. I don't know that any former number one pick, whether it's Burrow or Trevor Lawrence or Bryce Young, or go back, that a quarterback chosen number one is going to step into a better situation.
Am I overthinking things by saying, hey, do I have any concerns about what he can do within the structure of the offense? Because he was asked to do so much on his own. Did bad habits develop over time?
I don't think so. Okay. I think some of the things that we talked about, Baldy, is because he was pressing so much, mm-hmm. right? And I talked about it earlier, EA. When you talk about living within the structure of the offense, you see him throwing timing. So you can see it on film. It's not like we never saw it on film. Maybe one thing you could question if you didn't see it on film. Mm-hmm. But if you see it, that means you could coach him to do it more consistently. And I think that's the thing with Caleb Williams. You've seen him live in the structure of the offense. He can do it. But when everything breaks down, you know you have a player that can make plays that are not scripted out right on the tape. Go make a play for us. He can go do that.
Baldy, you are the commander of Washington now. Number 2 overall selection, they're probably going to go quarterback here as well.
Well, I mean, they took their starting quarterback for the last 18 games, Sam Howell, and they shipped him off to Seattle. So they need a quarterback. Yeah. Dan Quinn comes in. Why not unite with the quarterback and start rebuilding that organization from the scratch. And I don't know, LeJay, if people even realize or remember that Jaden Daniels, he did win the Heisman Trophy.
They seem to have forgot, obviously.
when you watch him, he's just such a dynamic player. I mean, his running ability. Man. Now, I think, you know, he's got to protect himself better than what he showed in some games, especially like that Alabama game. They were planting him. But the talent is just, it's not even raw. It's been developed. He transferred from Arizona State. The last 2 years, he's been dynamic. And, you know, I just think when you look at the pure talent, you can't go wrong here. You can start with Jaden. He can start. They really addressed the offensive line, starting with Taylor Biadasz. A lot of guys in free agency. I think building that offensive line to try to protect him, I think they've got good receivers there in Washington. I think he's got a chance to have some success right away.
So Baldy likes Daniels here. Do you like the Lamar Jackson comparisons?
It's a pretty good comp when you talk about the explosive ability in him running. You talked about Baldy, but to me, Jaden Daniels has the calmest feet in the pocket out of all of these quarterbacks. I don't think that's talked about enough because he is so explosive and dynamic with the football in his hands. When you watch his footwork in the pocket, and we go back to last year when people were so enamored with Bryce Young, what he could do off platform, but it was C.J. Stroud and doing the boring fundamental things, which really helped him and elevated him this year. That's what Jaden Daniels does. Yes, he had two really good receivers, but when you just saw him and the way he was able to maneuver in the pocket, his footwork, I think Caleb Williams has the best pocket presence, but as far as just like best footwork, to me, it's Jaden Daniels, and I don't think that gets talked about enough.
I think New England is in a very interesting spot. They have a new head coach, Jerod Mayo. They have a roster that is in transition. They signed Jacoby Brissett. Do they go quarterback here?
Da-na-na. On the phone, the Minnesota Vikings have traded up to the New England Patriots, and they are drafting Drake May. When you look at New England, I think they're comfortable with Jacoby Brissett as their starter for right now, as a bridge quarterback starter. He's proven that he can be a starter in this league and keep you in games. I think there's just too many holes on this roster right now, Baldy. Why not gain some draft capital and trade back, right, and really develop this roster the right way? Potentially take a swing at a quarterback in the second round. Say a Bo Nix or Spencer Rattler is still there. I think that's something that the New England Patriots will do. And if you look at the Minnesota Vikings, they trade up to get their quarterback of the future. And even though Drake May is going to be the quarterback that I think they take at three overall, I think because you took Sam Darnold, he could start in the beginning of the year and be a bridge quarterback. That way you don't have to force Drake May out there. I believe Drake May needs a developmental year.
Well, the quarterback coach for the Minnesota Vikings just happens to be Josh McCown. He only drove to work every day with Sam Darnold when they were both here with the Jets. And he coached Drake May.
Correct.
In high school in Charlotte. Like, there is a real, you can already feel like there is a connection there with Minnesota to Drake May.
Okay.
And so I think Sam will get, like, Sam just left a place in San Francisco where he actually saw stability. What that looks like, what that feels like. He has a chance to succeed. Minnesota, they've obviously got the receivers and tight end there and a pretty good offensive line. But I just think this is a great situation for Drake.
Correct.
He does not have to be forced in there. Mm-hmm. Kevin McCarthy has shown that he knows how to work with quarterbacks. Josh McCown is there. They can bring him along as slowly as he needs to, depending on how Sam plays.
Arizona has the fourth overall selection. Do they need a weapon to pair him up with Kyler Murray?
Do they need a weapon?
You mean like somebody beside handing it off to James Conner?
Correct.
I mean, honestly, like Hollywood Brown is gone. Like the receiving court, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like they need the next Larry Fitzgerald. You know, and look, Marvin Harrison has been that for 3 years at Ohio State. They need somebody. Like the tight end really developed last year with Kyler when he came in. Kyler played pretty well. But he needs somebody to throw it to on the outside.
Correct.
And I just think Marvin Harrison is sitting there. He's got no holes in his game. He has been an elite prospect since Garrett Wilson was there and everybody was watching him as a freshman at Ohio State. I just think you can plug and play Marvin Harrison and they upgrade that position, a position of real need, as they begin to build this roster to become more competitive in the NFC West.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You already had a trade for us in round one. What do the Chargers do here at five? Because they have a new program under Jim Harbaugh. He wants to win inside the trenches.
He does.
He loves that attitude. Do they go offensive lineman? Do you go receiver here? Ooh. Do we see us start a run on receivers? Or perhaps do they trade out?
Yeah, this is an interesting scenario for the Chargers, right? Because they could trade back and get some more draft capital because we know they've been in cap purgatory, right? So they need cheap labor right now. So they could trade back and get some young players. But you heard Jim Harbaugh talk, you know, at the owners' meeting, talking about building things in the trenches. The only thing is they have one of the best left tackles in football.
Rashard Slater.
If you take Joe Alt, do you know he's going to be able to make that transition? It's not an easy transition from left to right or from right to left. To me, they need a playmaker on the outside. They took Quentin Johnson last year in the first round, but Malik Nabers with the start and stop ability, the acceleration, he is a big-time playmaker. He literally can take a curl route 70 yards, Baldy. You see it on film all the time. He'll take a curl route in the middle of the field and just leave the rest of the defense for 50 or 60 yards. So, yes, I know Jim Harbaugh wants to build things through the trenches. He wants to run the football, play really good and aggressive defense. But you got Justin Herbert at quarterback. You need a playmaker on the outside for him to go to.
Okay. As much as they want to run the ball, like he did in San Francisco and run all the way to a Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick and everybody that they had, like on third downs in red zone, you got to throw it.
You got to.
You got to throw it. And, you know, they lost their tight ends. They lost two elite
one
receivers.
One and two receivers.
Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, they lost those guys. So Justin Herbert has to throw it to somebody.
Yeah.
Josh Palmer's there. Quentin Johnson is there. But I just think you need a guy. Malik looks like you put him in the slot. You know, you go throw him 100 targets. And the offense is going to look a lot better.
Baldy, let's go cross town.
Yeah.
Big Blue, the Giants. They have multiple needs. I like the way their defensive line's looking after
training for
Brian Burns. Yep. No doubt about that. But offensive line could be in play here at six. Or is this where we see another quarterback?
Well, look, they address the offensive line. You can debate John Runyon, Jermaine Illuminar, but I think those are two starters.
No,
you know,
for sure.
So they've, you know, and then you get John Michael Schmitz and Andrew Thomas and, you know, guys that I think are look like they're long-term answers at those.
Quick question, but do you think they could potentially move Neil inside at guard?
I don't think so.
I think he can.
You got to try to find a place for him.
Yeah.
And sometimes when things don't work outside because of their foot quickness, whatever, you put them inside and you can just cover people up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's worth a try.
Yeah. Roman Dunze is out there too because they need somebody.
They need
outside.
A receiver. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Daniel Jones is coming off a major injury.
Yeah.
They went out and they got Drew Lock, which you can tell me all you want about Drew Lock. I've seen him start 5 games in 3 years. I don't think he's the answer. I just don't believe it. And so I think this organization, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, they did not draft Daniel Jones. And so I think it's their chance. Like, they started fresh in Buffalo when they got Josh Allen.
Yes.
And I feel like maybe Saquon's gone. Maybe this is the time you go and get your quarterback here. And J.J. McCarthy. And whether you start him right away or you don't, like, start building with your quarterback. That's what the great franchise is doing this business right now.
Okay, so let's reset this right now.
Sure.
No offensive lineman has been taken amongst the first six selections. Mm-hmm. We do have two receivers off the board and four quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, Tennessee. Got a first-year head coach.
Yep.
Got his dad on staff, Bill Callahan, who's one of the best offensive line coaches in the history of the National Football
League. He was here
league.
Yeah. Doing a great job when he was here.
It looks like you're leading on to something right now. Yeah.
I actually think I would not be surprised if they moved out of here, but offensive line makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they're not. If Joe Alt is there at seven, they are running this card in. Like, Petit Frere is a really good tackle, and he's played left and right. I think he can go back to right tackle. Yeah. They swung and missed with Andre Dillard last year, so they need a left tackle to stabilize that offensive line. And Peter Skowronski had some medical conditions, but played well when he was able to actually play. Yeah. And you talked about it. Bill Callahan is in the fold. Nobody develops offensive line better than Bill Callahan. So just imagine Joe Alt on that offensive line. Will Levis will be thanking the gods he has some good protection while he could get get it to his playmakers on the outside, whether it's DeAndre Hopkins or Calvin Ridley. So I don't think they'll trade that spot. I think they're running this card in if Joe Alt is at seven.
Big changes there. No King. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry in Baltimore now, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, Tony Pollard comes in.
Spears is a really good player,
Tajay had a good rookie season. Yeah. He was their third down back last year when they took the King off the field. He showed that he can play in this business. So they got a good 1-2 punch there. Build the line right there. You got receivers on the outside. Like, it makes a lot of sense to just keep building that wall in front of them.
Baldy, no defensive players have been taken at this point in our mock draft. The Atlanta Falcons are up at number 8. They have a new head coach, Raheem Morris, of course, who actually started with the Jets way back when as a coaching intern back at Hofstra. They have an interesting mix of players on the offensive side of the ball, skill position talent. Kirk Cousins added to the mix. But do they need more pieces defensively?
They do. And this is where the first defensive player comes off the board.
For sure.
Like, you know, you watch Dallas Turner from Alabama. He looks like a polished edge rusher that can step into this business and he can win one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. He's got a long arm move. He's got exceptional power. He can bend. Like, all the things you're looking for an edge rusher to be taken this high, he has it. And there was a point last year, LeJay, where the Atlanta Falcons, with a bunch of no-name players, were top 10 defense. Now, they slipped at the end.
Yeah.
But they had improved a lot. And I just think, like, you're looking at Raheem, who comes from the Rams, where they saw two young rookies, and Kobe Turner and Byron Young, step in and play and learn from a guy like Aaron Donald. And they really stepped up, and they really performed, and they contributed a great deal to a Rams team that really, you know, was a lot better than what people thought they were going to be. I think Dallas Turner is the right pick. And it would be if he's there at 8, it would actually surprise me that they wouldn't take him.
Okay? Oh, yeah, I think they're going to run that card in. You talked about some of the personnel on their defense. When you look at Arnold Ebiketie, he had a second-year growth last year. You need somebody to pair with him to really build around his defense. They're really strong interior with David Onyemata and also Grady Jarrett. Yep. So why not add a piece to that outside, a piece that you can really build around? You talked about his long arm. It's probably the best in all this draft class, going speed to power with the long arm. And then he's athletic enough where you can drop him in coverage, too.
He played a lot of linebacker.
He did that at Alabama, and he just destroys tight ends at the line of scrimmage. So I'm with you. If he's there, he will be the first defensive player taken in this draft.
What do you make of Chicago now? At number 9, Caleb Williams going number 1 overall.
Yep.
A lot of people have been pegging receiver for them. I do feel like they're better equipped at the position than people act. I don't know, externally.
Well, if you look at it, right, Keenan Allen is on a 1-year deal, so maybe that's why they're looking at it. But DJ Moore is a true number one. He proved it last year with Justin Fields. He could be a number one receiver. Let's not forget, Cole Kmet is one of the young, flourishing tight ends in all of football. He got an extension there. And then they added Gerald Everett. So you would think maybe they're going a little bit more 12 personnel because Gerald Everett is a really good player as well. Now, people wonder, could they go offensive line here? I actually like Braxton Jones. Yeah. I think he is a good development
player.
They
left him at left tackle last
year. Exactly. And then they took Darnell Wright at number 10 overall. I think they go on the defensive side now. Baldy, this was one of the best defenses the last 6 weeks of the season. Matter of fact, they were the number one scoring defense the last 6 weeks of the season. Number one over the whole season against the run. Number one in interceptions the last 6 weeks. And number one in rushing touchdowns given up the last 6 weeks of the
season. Very good against the run.
And what happened? They traded for Montez Sweat, and he transformed that defense. Now, just imagine if he had a bookend with him, Jared Verse, a guy that his whole game starts with power. Baldy, when you see him. He's an explosive guy.
He's got tremendous size,
and he plays extremely hard, which kind of fits into what the Chicago Bears are trying to be on defense. When you look at guys like Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, the two linebackers they have, this is a gritty defense that gets after it. So Jared Verse makes a lot more sense to me. Let's not forget they have a defensive-minded coach and Matt Eberflus, right? He really wants to get that last piece to solidify this defense. I think Jared Verse is the pick at pick.
What is Chicago always known for? I mean, the Monsters of the Midway, all that stuff is real. Like, their star players have always come on defense. And Chicago Bear fans are used to seeing great defense.
Yeah.
And that's what they turned a corner when they made the trade for Montez Sweat. I said when they made the trade that I didn't believe there would ever be a second-round pick of Montez Sweat's value.
Correct.
And his talent. And you could say that about almost the first round. I mean, this guy changed the defense with his length, how hard he plays. It's always more than just sacks. And so I just think you get somebody opposite him right here, and they're a front four built team. They want to play zone defense, but it starts with their four being able to affect the quarterback. That would really help.
Let's go inside the Jets war room right now, because number one through number nine, they're off the board.
Okay.
So what are the Jets' options? What are the conversations being had right now?
Well, to me, if you look at the board right now, Roma Dunze is there. Olu Fashanu is still there. And that's literally probably where it ends with those
maybe
two.
Maybe Brock Bowers
maybe is a conversation as well. So those three players, to me, positional value, I think Brock Bowers is a little rich. But when you look at a guy like Olu and what he could be now, if you draft him this year, is it going to be a redshirt year? But just knowing the history of Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses getting up there in age, coming off a pec injury where he had surgery, is it a guy, a piece that's going to be a blue chip piece that's going to be your left tackle for 10 to 15 years? And then Roma Dunze, right? He's going to be a immediate impact guy. And it also allows you the luxury of not forcing Mike Williams back on the field coming off a major knee injury as well. And he pairs nice with Garrett Wilson. So these are the conversations we'll be having with my guy Baldy right here.
Yeah, well, part of the conversation, LeJay, is I feel like for the second year in a row, they're all in on this year.
Correct.
Yeah, I think you've got to maximize Aaron Rodgers while Aaron Rodgers is here. And we don't know how long that is going to be.
Correct.
And I just think you give him as much immediate help.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think we all feel like we know Rome to the point where we know he's smart.
Correct.
We know that he can adjust, learn an offense. He did that at Washington. I feel like you're going to get immediate value.
Mm-hmm.
And while Olu might be for the future, where you go, okay, we got our tackle of the future. Whenever Tyron and Morgan moves on or something happens, I feel like you have to think just in this moment. This is the moment right here. And I think Odunze gives you that moment.
But I'm going to ask you to state the case for Bowers in this situation if you're in that room. Because there's going to be some people probably having that belief in the Jets scouting offices that, hey, maybe this could be Bowers.
Yeah, when you look at Brock Bowers, you can't just call him a traditional tight end, right? He's a weapon X. He's an explosive weapon on offense. You can line him up at the traditional Y position. You can line him up in the backfield. You can line him flexed out. And this guy is just explosive, right? He's a mismatch for safeties and linebackers. But he's a willing blocker as well. We were talking about that earlier, Baldy. I don't think people talk about that enough. Not the biggest guy, but he will get after you. Like, he's going to compete and give effort when it comes to blocking. And that was the one thing I really liked about his game and his development these last couple of years, because it wasn't that great his freshman year, but where he is in his third year in college football is night and day from where it was his freshman year. So we talk about having an explosive weapon that gives you mismatches. Like, that's what Brock Bowers is. The only question I have is, I love the Jets tight end. Mm-hmm. You talk about Tyler Conklin and what he's been able to do, stretching down the seam.
Yeah.
Jeremy Rucker, I think, is going to be a superstar once he transforms into tight end one. He's a complete tight end as far as he will rip your face off, but he also has the speed. You saw him on fade routes last year, literally go over the top of safety. So I think he's going to be a star player on this team. And Kenny Yeboah I like as well. He's a guy that you can flex out. He's also a guy that will get after you blocking-wise. And Zach Kuntz, they took last year in the seventh round, is a tall glass of water, right? Yeah. This dude's about 6'7", developmental tight end. So they have a really good tight end room right now. To me, taking Brock at 10 would be a luxury pick.
I think the only thing I would say, in addition to what you just said, LeJay, is it's going to force defenses to match up in certain ways.
Right.
That's going to work to their advantage, whether it's giving it to Breece or whether it's going to be letting Aaron decide, you know, where to go. Like, are they going to line up? If they're in 12 personnel, are they going to line up with base defense? Because they've got tight ends who can block, including Brock. And so you better be able to handle that with Breece in the backfield. And then the flexibility that you have with Brock Bowers to move him around, to get yourself a chess piece against a linebacker or against a safety that drops down. So I just think it gives you a lot more flexibility. In addition to the tight end room that's talented, I think it could give you some of that.
I wanted to ask you both about the way these contracts were structured in free agency.
Yeah.
Tyron Smith, 1-year deal. Morgan Moses, he's up at the end of this year. Also, Mike Williams, who you guys both had mentioned, coming off the ACL, he's on a one-year deal as well. How much does that factor into the equation?
It does. Okay, all I'm doing is just pushing all these chips to
the
middle of the table.
Well, it's all connected.
It's all connected. I mean, there's a reason why these contracts were structured the way they were. It's all about just this season. Some teams, you know, they're building that roster, you know, that's going to be competitive and star-studded for the next, like San Francisco. Yeah. They've got that roster set. But the Jets right here, because of the quarterback, like you just got to feel like it's about this year. Yeah. We'll get to next year when we get to next year.
Okay.
Like it's still going to be a talented roster with all the youth that they have at key positions. But I just think you just keep pushing the chips to the table.
And what it also does, it gives those players incentives, right, to go out there and play hard because they're on one-year deals to try to re-up next year. Mm-hmm. When you look at a guy like Tyron Smith, if he can go out and prove he can be healthy for 15, 16 games, that's 2 years of work showing, like, I can be healthy. I deserve a payday. Mike Williams, the same with him. He's been hurt the last 2 years. If he can go out there and play 15 games and be healthy and produce, he's showing other teams I can be healthy. And we haven't even talked about Hassan Reddick, who's essentially on a one-year deal with the Jets, who's essentially on a revenge tour because he wanted an extension, wasn't able to work it out, came, you know, down 95 to the New York Jets. He's going to be motivated. So I think that's another good thing that Joe Douglas did. He got players that are motivated with these one-year deals to go out there and perform.
In this mock, you gentlemen have the Jets taking wide receiver Rome Odunze out of Washington. How does he fit this offense, specifically with Garrett Wilson, Williams coming off the ACL, but a prototypical big-time vertical threat on the outside. Yep. You also have some young guys here in Xavier Gibson, Jason Brownlee, and the Jets have confidence Alan Lazard is going to return to form here with Aaron Rodgers.
He's a point scorer.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Like, you know, he's a guy. I think when we see like a guy like Puka or Justin Jefferson or Jamar come in and, like, establish themselves immediately as rookies, I feel like Rome can establish himself, even with the talent that's around him.
Correct.
Like, just because of how strong his hands are, his route running, how crisp it is already, and his size. I just think that's a guy that Aaron Rodgers, the way he had that relationship with Davante Adams, the way that we felt like he had it with Garrett going into the season last year, like, I feel like he's going to see this guy's talent. And back shoulder fade routes, like, he's never going to be covered in Aaron Rodgers' mind. And we've seen him have that success with a bunch of guys in Green Bay. And I feel like he's that type of player.
And I'm so glad you brought that up in regards to him playing with talented receivers, because that's exactly what he did at Washington. Like, when you look at Jalen Polk, he's going to be a second-round pick. McMillan's probably going to be a third-round pick. Like, these are guys that are going to go high in the draft, and Rome Odunze had success with them. So when you talk about Garrett Wilson, this will free him up in the middle of the field in regards to playing in the slot more. And he won't have to worry about that safety over the top. Because if you leave Rome Odunze one-on-one on the outside, it's lights out. You talked about the catch radius, the fade balls. When he goes up with the football and goes to catch it, it's not 50-50 jump ball. It's 70-30. Rome Odunze is coming down with the football. So now you have him and you have Mike Williams on the other side who can stretch the defense as well in regards to going up and getting the contested catches as well. You got two monsters on the outside and one of the best young route runners in Garrett Wilson on the inside. This would be a potent offense if they were to get Rome Odunze at 10.
Outstanding analysis, gentlemen. We'll have to see how it all plays out on draft weekend.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.